seats. They want to go back with their parents at this time. Appreciate your fine attention, young people. And I would encourage you adults to do two things. Number one, to fully surrender yourself and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do in the realm of missions, Lord, don't rule out sending me. Say, Lord, if you want to send me, I'll go. We only have one life to serve God. Let it count. But chances are most of you, God's not going to send at this point. But God may want your children to go. Will you surrender them? Say, Lord, would you call my kids or my grandkids? I think that might even be a harder prayer when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road. Next few minutes, I'd like to share with you just a simple challenge from a very familiar passage, 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you turn with me in the Word of God, we're going to find some people that had some fears. To be quite honest with you, my wife had a lot of fears when I told her that God was leading us to be missionaries. You saw there that she said that when I first told her that, she was not very excited. That's putting it lightly. In fact, she came to a place, she never outwardly showed it, but she got to a place where she was pretty mad at God. She's like, we had a nice little setup close to both of our parents in Florida and ministry there. And, you know, we could make good excuse for why we shouldn't go. But being busy is not what God's interested in. You know what God's interested in? Is our obedience. That He is Lord. He calls the shots. And we willingly and happily and heartily obey. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we find a scene that comes on the horizon here. The Philistine army is marching up from the south into Israel's territory. And they send out their champion warrior Goliath. You know the story, David and Goliath, right? He starts spewing out these words in verse number 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word, we'll read a few verses, share a few thoughts, and I'll leave you with a challenge tonight. 1 Samuel 17, verse 8. The Bible says, "And he stood." This is Goliath. Picture a fellow over 9 feet tall. "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, 'Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul?'" Now remember, they just elected King Saul, right? Had it been prior to that, perhaps he would have called them servants of the Most High God. But now they're just reduced to mere servants to Saul in the Philistines' eyes. "Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. And if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Have you ever been afraid? Are there things in your life that strike fear into your heart? Perhaps just thinking about missions. You're getting ready to go into a missions conference. Say, "Lord, I don't know if I can step out any farther on this faith thing when it comes to giving." How about surrendering more of your time to praying? How about going out and giving a gospel tract out? Oh, we'll support missionaries. That's the easy part. But how about being a missionary right here in your neighborhood? That's hard. Believe me. Fear strikes me even when I'm sitting in an airplane or somewhere and I'm sitting next to someone. I know my responsibility to tell them about Jesus. What if they don't want to hear it? Hey, we still got to tell them. And we will fear this world when we get our eyes off of God and recognizing His power. We will have fears remain in our lives when we forget about God's promises. And we will have fears remaining in our lives, dominating us when we fail to surrender those things and recognize God is greater than those. But let's look at this in just a few minutes here. But let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, You're so great. We know we're so little. We're so insignificant, it seems. We're powerless on our own. We recognize that. But we recognize that we serve the true living God. There is no other God beside Thee. There is none else. There's no challenger, truly, no one. But Lord, may we not act like defeated servants, like the Israelites were. May we rise to the challenge and be committed to Your cause. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We find in the following verses here that back home on the ranch, down in Bethlehem, there's a lad that's been sent out to watch his father's sheep. Seems insignificant. He doesn't seem very important. In fact, he probably feels forgotten. If you don't, you may not realize this, but in the previous passage, previous chapter, 1 Samuel 16, David had already been in the king's court there playing the harp to settle down King Saul's spirit, right? And then he's sent home, and his three eldest brothers are sent to the battle. The older brethren, the ones that are strong, the ones that have the talent, the ones that are going to go get the job done and stand for their country, right? And little David's just going to watch some sheep. Some poor little defenseless sheep, right? But one day, I imagine, he got a text on his cell phone, young people, right? And it's from his dad. Hey, dad doesn't text me very much, right? He says, come home quick, son, I got a job from you. He gets home and says, dad, what do you want me to do? He says, I got a backpack here for you. It's got some food in it. I want you to go to the battlefield. I want you to check on your brethren, see how they're doing. He says, man, this is what I've been waiting for. Man, he's so excited that early in the morning. Now, you young people don't know what early in the morning is all about. But early in the morning, he gets up and he starts on his journey. He gets there to the battlefield. He's looking around. He starts scratching his head saying, what in the world is going on? I thought there was supposed to be a battle at hand. These guys are roasting marshmallows around the fire. Now, you guys just use your imagination with me, okay? Because he sees them and then he starts hearing something. He starts hearing a voice. Send me a man to fight. Send me a man to fight. He says, what's that? Oh, I mean, who's that? Is it Goliath? David, you must not be keeping up in the Jerusalem Journal. I mean, this guy has been taunting us for 40 days and 40 nights. He's been crying out to send him a man to fight. He's like, well, where's the volunteer line? Sign me up for the job. I'm all in. They said, no, you don't understand. This is Goliath, an experienced warrior. I mean, this guy can kill people with one hand. I mean, it's been told that maybe he eats them after he kills them. I mean, this guy is bad news. No one's going to go fight him. And David starts listening to the words of Goliath. He starts hearing him taunting not just Israel, but blaspheming the most holy God. Folks, you know how much you're in love with someone by the way you react when someone else talks down about that person. We say we love God, but how do we respond when the world starts taking God's name in vain or even cursing God or talking down about the Word of God or picking on the preacher, right? Poor preacher. Oh, that preacher, I mean, all preachers are just hypocrites and all, yeah. Does that tear you up? Does that bring a rage about you? You say there's a battle here. And most people, just like the Israelites, they keep their mouths closed and they say, I would just kind of be a quiet, secret Christian. And they do nothing. And that's a dangerous time. And we live in a day where people are keeping their mouths closed. But David did not. David stepped up. And then he starts looking around and he says, man, I got to do something about this. And then he bumps into someone. He looks up at Eliab, his oldest brother. And Eliab's looking down at him and starts, look at it. Verse 28, his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Young people, count on it. Anytime you decide you're going to step out and you're going to do something for God, you're going to serve God, just expect criticism. The hardest thing is you're going to be criticized by those that you would least expect it, from those who are closest to you, those that you think that are going to cheer you on. They're going to be like, yeah, that might be good for someone else, but not you. And David's getting it from his brother. But the truth of the matter is David's there at the battlefield because daddy sent him. He was being obedient to the authority in his life. And then he turns around and says in the most fierce fighting words ever, verse number 29, David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? If I could just kind of embellish on that a little bit. He's saying, Eliab, listen. Brother, yes, you're my oldest brother, but this isn't about our name. It's not about our father Jesse's name. This isn't about our tribe of Benjamin's name. This isn't even about Israel's name, as great of a nation we are. This is about God's name. Is there not a cause? Word starts getting around the camp. People start getting encouraged. There's someone with some fire in their belly. Hey, there's someone that wants to take on this big bad Goliath. They bring David before King Saul. King Saul looks at him and says, oh man, I thought it was bad before. Now this is the best that we have to offer to represent Israel. Just this youth. He's being despised. He comes out there on the battlefield before Goliath. Goliath just looks at him and laughs his head off.
Literally. Read the story. He stands up there and he starts cursing David. I like the words of Scripture here. Watch this. Verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. What's this kid going to do? Man, I mean, I've been waiting to fight a man, not a kid. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David, watch this, by his gods. What we're up against in Nepal and with the Tibetan people is multiple idols. Nepal is the world's only Hindu state. So about 85% of the population in Nepal, about 30 million people, they're Hindus. And Hindus have not just a few gods, they have millions of gods. Basically anything and everything has a spirit and needs to be revered. And then you have the Buddhists. And they have their chants and they have this, and really it's just satanic at its core. We are going to be engaged in a real battle. Is it scary? Yeah, it's very scary, but I'm encouraged as I prepare to go to that battlefield virtually with very few other fellow laborers. But I have this one thing to hold on to. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And David was not looking at Goliath at this point. Israel was looking at the challenge. David was looking beyond the challenger and looking at the solution. He knew where to look. He says in Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. Not from my fellow brethren, as much as I love my fellow brethren, but my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. See, David knew who he served. I can just imagine when David was there on the hillside watching the sheep, God was preparing his heart for this moment. God was preparing him in secret for that public moment of warfare. Because I can just imagine David reading the Old Testament scriptures there. The Torah, the Pentateuch, right? He's reading and he's learning about God. My friend, if you have a fear in your life, the only solution is get into the Word of God. This is the only thing that's going to develop and strengthen your faith. The more scriptural you are, the more spiritual you'll be. Amen? And as David was getting into the words of God, the words of God were getting into him. When he read the Word of God, he started getting to understand who his God was. How powerful, how great. And then in his journal, penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes in Psalm chapter 86, listen to these words. And when you have scripture like this going through your mind and heart, when you face challenges in life, guess what? You're ready to take them on, knowing that you're going to come out with the victory. Listen to this. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee and shall glorify thy name. Why? For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. See, David didn't just serve a God of yesterday. He knew the great history, how God had promised Abraham to make of him a great nation. And then how God had blessed Moses, bringing the people out of Egypt. And then God blessed Jacob and leading the people into the promised land and winning battle after battle. But he didn't remain satisfied with serving a God of the past. And my dear friends, we live today like we serve a God of yesterday. We love to sing His praises of what He's done way back then, or glory in the day when He saved us. But what about today? David looks Goliath in the face. I love his reaction to Mr. Goliath, who's cursing him by his small G-O-D-S, gods. Verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Boy, there's something about that name, isn't there? There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, we don't go out in our strength. We don't try to out-debate the loss. We just simply declare the truth of the gospel. I learned long ago as a sixth grader, I was debating some Jehovah's Witnesses and trying to help them see. And then this man comes out. I was talking to a teenager, and the dad comes out. He is way over my head trying to explain why Revelation doesn't belong in the Word of God, this and that. And I'm like, I don't know what to say to this guy. My mom comes up. She's coming to pick my partner and I up. And she did something I'll never forget. She just goes up and just very kindly gives her personal testimony. How God saved her out of a bad past, changed her life, and now she's serving God. You can't fight against that. Because that's the miracle power of what God has done. And David realized it's not me, but it's the name of God. Watch this, verse 46. This will help you because this is scripture. Watch this, verse 46. This day. No, watch this. Mr. Goliath, when I get grown and big, I'm going to come after you and whoop you. You better be looking behind over your shoulder for the next 5-10 years while I work on my fighting skills. No, it's not someday I'll get victory. This day. It's now. I came on the scene for such a time as this, David's saying. And this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. I want you to go down to the end of the verse. This is the big point of the entire chapter. If there's one phrase that you've got to get when you get the whole story of David and Goliath, it's not really about the greatness of David. It's not about the awfulness of Goliath. It's about this. This is the cause. You may want to make a note next to verse 29, put verse 46 there, because David says this, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David, why would you put your neck on the line? He was actually, basically, in most people's eyes, committing suicide. He should have died that day. The odds were against him. But his God was greater. And he said, the reason why I'm going out, and this is the very reason why we're going to Nepal, we're not going because we feel sorry for Tibetan people. Listen, when I see the pictures of Tibetans, my heart bleeds for them, and I have a genuine love for them. But we don't go because we want to keep them out of hell. Although that is very true, we want to see that. But they are giving glory to false gods, which is indirectly giving glory to the devil. Because they are stealing worship that belongs to the Lord. We go because of the King who sends us. His mandate is to go and tell them. He wants to be worshipped. Jesus Christ deserves the glory due His name. And the purpose why we go is why David went, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I can't take it that the devil is taking advantage of these people, and only Jesus Christ will set them free. Listen, we already claim the victory. God will give you the victory over your fears if you're going to give Him the glory. That's the only reason why David won that day, because God got great glory. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Lord, so simple, so pure, so perfect. Lord, we can learn a lot from young David. He didn't look like a whole lot in people's eyes. But boy, he was significant to you because His faith was in you. Help us, Lord, to have that faith. Help us to have the vision. Help us to be willing to make a sacrifice, Lord, regardless of what the cost. But may we be drawn to taking risk like David did because of our passionate love for you. And I know, Lord, that when we're worshiping you like we ought, we'll be laboring for you like we ought. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Pastor.